Hold up a second. It's the 14th day of the session, January 30th, 2009. Should read that off my script. So, now, Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly. Craft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller,
here.
Millen,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Semlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker.
Excused.
Mr. Speaker, excused. 59 present, 1 excused.
Prayer of the day will be Father Gary Ruzicka, representing St. Mary's Church in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful for the privilege of living in this great state. Make us worthy of the heritage that has been entrusted to us by those who have gone before us. Lord, be with us this Friday morning at the end of our week, that we may be our very best and prove ourselves worthy of your grace and love. Be with us now, Lord, in our work and in our deliberations, that we may merit the trust bestowed upon us by the citizens of Wyoming. Let not impatience or haste cloud our judgment and our discernment. Without you, Lord, we are nothing. With you, all things are possible. Guard and protect all your people under the shadow of your outstretched wings. May all glory be yours now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See you, Bill. Take care of you.
Take care of you, too.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Lisa Brandes from MD from Cheyenne. And the nurse of the day is Brenda Burnett, RN, MSN, Wyoming State Board of Nursing. Thank you very much for your attention. Members, on your desk you'll find a memorandum from the chief clerk, and she has sent that out at the direction of leadership, and I would ask you to review that on our decorum here on the floor, and certainly ask your cooperation with that, because we all want to be friends when this is all over. And no lectures, that's just it. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 29, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Messages from the Senate. Nope. Don't have any. Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. We are at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 289.
House Bill 289, introduced by Representative Mercer.
House Bill, first reading of the bill, sorry.
You're supposed to pound.
An act relating to child protection cases.
House Bill 289 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Joint Resolution 18. First reading of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 18, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, and a resolution requesting Congress to cease and desist in passing legislation impeding the rights of Americans to keep and bear arms.
House Joint Resolution 18 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 277.
House Bill 277, introduced by Representative Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue exemption county option.
House Bill 277 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 287.
House Bill 287, introduced by Representative Philp.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding helium property tax.
House Bill 287 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 290.
House Bill 290, introduced by Representative Leveno.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to municipalities regarding tax increment financing.
House Bill 290 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 291.
House Bill 291, introduced by Representative Pedersen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to economic development, small business investment credit.
House Bill 291 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 286.
House Bill 286, introduced by Representative Korberg.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Federal Natural Resource Policy Account.
House Bill 286 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 205.
House Bill 205, introduced by Representative Edmonds.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the administration of government regarding state employee work week.
House Bill 205 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 294.
House Bill 294, introduced by Representative Simpson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to controlled substances, prescription drug database.
House Bill 294 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 295.
House Bill 295, introduced by Representative Simpson.
First reading of the bill.
an act relating to the Western States Energy and Environment Symposium.
House Bill 295, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 288.
House Bill 288, introduced by Representative Lockhart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to utility certificate of authority high voltage transmission lines.
House Bill 288 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. We are at that order of business, Senate files on first reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and criminal procedure regarding loss of firearms.
Senate File 70 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 86.
Senate File 86, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to anatomical gifts.
Senate File 86, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 125.
Senate File 125, introduced by the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government state employee compensation.
Senate File 125, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 124.
Senate File 124, introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds, education reserve funding.
Senate File 124 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to feral livestock.
Senate File 8 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 36. Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the state engineer permit application.
Senate File 9, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elk disease transmission to livestock.
Senate File 36, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 82.
Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Cooper.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to weed and pest districts.
Senate File 82, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Historic Mine Trail and Byway System.
Senate File 7, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 13.
Senate File 13, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish shed antler collection.
Senate File 13, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by Senator Martin.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public easements.
Senate File 33, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 80.
Senate File 80, introduced by Senator Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to electrical installations.
Senate File 80, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to rental vehicle agencies.
Senate File 57, referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 58.
Senate File 58, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to vehicle title and registration.
Senate File 58, referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 76.
Senate File 76, introduced by Senator Johnson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles, snow plows, emergency lights.
Senate File 76, referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Mineral Committee.
First first reading of the bill.
An act relating to environmental quality, abandoned mine reclamation liens.
Senate File 3, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Larson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cooperative electric utilities and their regulation.
Senate File 85, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 113.
Senate File 113, introduced by Senator Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool.
Senate File 113, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Oh, sorry.
Privilege of the floor.
Representative Barbuto.
I'm sure, like me, a lot of you have noticed these two beautiful paintings on either side of the desk. And you probably know that they're by Wyoming artist Minerva Tykert. Up in the gallery today, where I'm directing, we have the great-granddaughter of Minerva. This happens also to be my constituent and my best friend and the person I love more than anybody else in this world, Aaron Tykert.
Welcome to the legislature. Now we're going to back up. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 18, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, no, Gingrey, signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 274, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne. No, Mercer, signed, Representing Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 168. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Hales, Lubno, Stubson, Wanitzer, Dan. No, Dirks, Illaway, Miller. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And worry not, the old bird has been duly tranquilized by management. I would like to, at this time, present in the South Gallery the one half of a contingent from Wheatland, Wyoming. This represents Mrs. Carl Burke's class, representing the student council of the Wheatland Middle School, and it includes the grandchild of Jared Davis, one of our phone people, and two of my grandchildren. South Balcony, I'd like you to introduce you to the Wyoming State House of Representatives. Thank you.
And welcome to the Wyoming Legislature. And more standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 187, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubno, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Miller, Stubson, signed, Representing Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 242, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Gilmore, Peterson. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
Now, we are at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. We have a couple of amendments. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Whoa.
What?
Chief Clerk will read the bill. Reading Clerk.
An act relating House Bill 31, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety regarding smoking in enclosed public places.
Now, Representative Madden, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill number 31, and I hereby respectfully ask for a recording of the ayes and the nays by roll call.
Do we have the necessary seconds? Okay, it appears we have the necessary seconds.
All right, just to briefly explain the essence of this amendment, I've got an array here. It's actually a matrix, a decision matrix. So if you can find that in your pile of papers, it'll help get through it real quick. Okay? What I'm doing here is just saying for restaurants and liquor establishments, drinking establishments, that what we're going to do is we're going to give them some degree of ownership into this thing so they feel that, you know, it isn't just been a unilateral decision on our part. What this essentially says is that the owner has the choice to allow people under 21 in his establishment, or he has a choice to allow people over 21. And if it's under 21, presumably he can admit anybody of any age. But they do have that choice that they can make of only catering to customers that are over 21. Now, if this restaurant or this lounge would choose the under 21 option, then that upper square, that shaded matrix, shaded part of the matrix, is not allowed. In other words, smoking cannot be allowed in a establishment that has made the decision to allow people under 21 in his establishment. Okay, so the matrix box that's available to him is the one immediately to the right of the shaded box. Okay. Now, the over 21, if you make that decision, and restaurants presumably could make this decision, or drinking establishments could make the decision, to allow only people in their establishment that's over 21. And that would include, you know, saloons that technically can let people in 18, but they'd have to, under this amendment, they'd have to limit it to over 21. In those instances, then the businessman has the choice, okay? Once again, he can make a choice. He can make a choice to allow no smoking in his establishment, or he can take the other box in this matrix where I say the first business option, smoking can be allowed. So that's the amendment. I think that it's reasonable. It kind of is analogous to when you raised your kids. You know, you can always get a lot more results out of your kids if you give them two alternatives, both of them that you kind of think are acceptable, and let them make the choice on their own. And that's kind of what we're doing here. We're providing an element of ownership in the decision on the part of businessmen. And some people will have to make a hard choice. You're going to have to decide, well, do I want to give up my clientele that are under 21 years old in order to have smoking, or do I want to just on my own say I'm going to go along with no smoking because I want 21-year-olds in my establishment, or people under 21 in my establishment. So take a look at it. Ask questions. I think after you really understand this amendment, only the most extraordinary person in here could be against this amendment. So I ask for your support, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question and regarding the amendment, and it has to do how it would interact with the last clause, 35.4.905, that's on page 7, lines 7 through 17. In that, we have a situation in which it says the provisions of this article shall not prohibit adoption of ordinances or regulations by counties or municipalities that are more strict than the provisions of this article. And currently, we allow municipalities to have more strict ordinances, but it would appear that this bill would allow both counties and municipalities. And so my question would be how this amendment would relate to that particular provision of the bill. It sounds to me like municipalities and counties could enforce more strict options if they should so choose. That's my question.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm one of those extraordinary people. I've always known I'm extraordinary, but I appreciate being recognized that way. My concern with the amendment, speaking specifically to that, is that it still doesn't address the issue of the employee. When you are looking for a job, and especially in these times when jobs are scarce, and you're forced to take a job wherever you can find it, you're still not protecting that employee from the harms of secondhand smoke being in that institution. You may, what this accomplishes is that it protects children, perhaps, but you still have that employee problem. And as for the last question, I hadn't noticed that, but that's an interesting point you just brought up. It says in the bill, regulations or ordinances by counties. Counties actually can't pass ordinances or regulations. Board of Health could, but that might be an amendment that needs to be to fix that problem.
Anybody else for their first time? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment, just some questions on it, I guess. The first being some of these restaurants and establishments which cater to those over 21 sometimes still have employees who aren't yet 21, and I'm not sure if that question applies. I guess it means you probably can't hire anybody under 21 to work in these establishments the way this amendment reads. And second, I guess over the years, I've brought up many arguments that are, you know, think about the children type of arguments, and but I don't know why we can't think about the parents and think about those over 21. I mean, if we're going to say it's a harm to children, and maybe the intent of this amendment is really just for bars and for private clubs, I don't know why it's not 18, as some of these nonprofit private clubs cater to those over 18. But if we're going to place, I suppose, cigarette smoke in the same dangerous classification as alcohol purchasing, I just have some concerns on why we would take that step and why we're saying that it's okay to protect the health and welfare of those under 21. I guess we're the government, we try to do that a lot, but we're not protecting the same employees and those people over the age of 21.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I appreciate all the extraordinary people who've come to the microphone. I appreciate the amendment as well. I view this as a rather elegant compromise, and I think that's one of the basis of which legislation, good legislation, is made. I think it is important to protect children because that group of our population oftentimes doesn't have a choice, and this does that. And yet it preserves free will that adults that we expect and that adults have, and I appreciate that also. I think that you know, we expect that in order for a democracy to work, that there's individual initiative, and we can take that initiative to walk out of an establishment that we don't want to be in, or go to one that we do, and so it preserves that. I like that. The other thing that I thought was nice about or is beneficial about this compromise is that it goes along with what a number of towns have done in the state. Is there's three towns that have smoking bans pretty much across the way, and then there's a number of towns that have kind of a hybrid, and they've gone through this discussion locally, and I think that's a healthy thing, and yet this preserves that because there are some towns that have had that discussion and they haven't they've chosen not to to go with a comprehensive ban like this. So on and for the amendment, I know that some people have indicated that they've made commitments in one way or another, but I think we're all committed to trying to do the best thing for the citizens of Wyoming, and this leaves that freedom in there for those who make this kind of choice, and yet it preserves that for children and those who can't make the choice. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question for the maker of the amendment regarding the logic behind somebody that's over or under 21 and where they work or where they don't work as it relates to public health.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I voted for this bill yesterday because it didn't have this kind of an exemption in it. And I'm on record, and I'm going to stay on record, that if it exempts bars, I'm not going to vote for this bill for a couple of reasons. One reason is I just don't think that it's the place of this legislature to try to start to create a privileged class. But more to the point is this. Let the mischief and the maneuvering and the chicanery begin. And it will. And you can see that in the history of our state. There's at least three, I know there's more than three, but at least three paired communities in this state where there are two small communities right next to each other. And the reason for that is because there's a minimum of two liquor licenses for a community. So if you had a community of, and I think the number is 3,500. If you had 3,500 people in a community, you get two liquor licenses. If you split that and form two communities, each with 1,750 in it, you get four liquor licenses. And that was the origin of these paired communities. And I think all of you probably know where one of them is or used to be. That is only the tip of the iceberg. And if we start creating exceptions in here for bars, a couple of things are going to happen. You are going to see creative thinking and fertile imaginations go to work in ways that you never imagined. And you're going to see the prices of these liquor licenses reflect things besides the pure capitalization of the revenue stream from liquor. And in some places they may go down because there's no interest in smoking, but in other places where there's significant interest in smoking, you may see liquor license prices that will be hard to believe. And that will be a market that artificially exists because we have artificially created a market. And I just don't think it's the thing that we ought to do, and I would urge you, before you agree to any exceptions for smoking in bars and restaurants, that you give serious thought to those fertile minds out there and what they're going to be up to, and give serious thought to the price that it or to the effect it's going to have on the price of liquor licenses in this state, on and against the amendment.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Majority Whip, or Speaker Pro Tem, sorry about that. Speaking on and for the amendment and hating to disagree with my vice chair, the subject of privileged class, in particular this amendment, doesn't particularly bother me, but since that subject was brought up, the privileged class with the bill itself in prohibiting people that smoke to exercise their rights, I think, is a greater issue. So I speak on and for the amendment.
Anybody else for their first time? Representative Madden, for your second and last time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'll try to answer a couple of the issues that I picked up here. As far as the interface between county governments and municipal governments, you know, I think it's clear that they would trump anything we do in this law. I mean, they would have, if they thought that the decisions that were made vis-a-vis this decision matrix by the business people in their community was not appropriate, certainly they could take remedial action in that regard. Another question involved, you know, why do we make a distinction between people under 21 and over 21? You know, this wouldn't be the first law that we have in the state of Wyoming that does make a distinction. You know, I'm willing to go far enough as to say that as a person, as a decision maker, that, you know, we have some responsibilities for young people in that regard. But what we're really separating out is consenting adults here. The over 21, they're consenting adults that may or may not resent the limiting of this matrix, you see. What we're really doing, if we don't approve an amendment like this, is that we're just talking about the right-hand column of this matrix. That's all there is, and both of them are required. The other one was whether or not we ought to take away or whether we create a leisure class or a privilege class or something like that. And all I'm doing is trying to create a class where they can make a decision, or they can make a decision on their own that helps them determine their own destiny. And I don't, you know, I just really have an issue with that. I think that we need to make sure we don't take away the decision privilege from private people and private businesses. So with that, I don't have any other comments, and I call for the ayes and nays if it's your choice. Thank you.
Certainly. Chief Clerk, call the roll, please.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Miller. Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 34 ayes, 25 noes, 1 excused.
Having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members of the House, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 31 has passed the House. Representative Lubno, are you? Oh,
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 31, and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does in the lines 8 through 17 is it sets out jurisdictional authority. It allows cities to regulate with inside the city boundaries and counties to regulate with inside the county but outside the municipal boundaries. And then page 19, lines 19 to 28, allows the counties and municipalities the ability to regulate to opt out of the smoking regulations so that they can have lighter smoking regulations or more strict smoking regulations. I look back on every major mistake that I've ever made in my life, and it seems that they all occur when I've tried to substitute my judgment for the judgment of a whole bunch of other people. And people in this state have voted on this issue in their communities. And who are we, the 60 of us here, to substitute our judgment for the people who've already told their government the way that they want to be governed? And why is it that we have more omnipotent authority than those people who voted in their own government? There was the city in the center of the state that had an election on it. There was a city to the west of that who, when they had a smoking ban, there was a petition drive, and that was repealed. And then there was a city to the west of that that had a smoking ban that was amended by input of the people. And here we are as a group of people imposing our will upon them because we don't like what they did. Well, that's not a good enough reason. I told the people in Ambush Alley that I'll talk to you after you've spoken to my city council and my county commission. And my city council has elected not to address this issue. And just because I have the power to regulate those people does not mean that I should use it. And so I'd urge you to adopt this amendment.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. My father-in-law, World War II hero, had a special disdain for dictators. Dictators included the ones he bombed in Europe, but also include some in our own governments, national, state, and local, when they tried to tell him how to live or force him to jump through bureaucratic hoops. In my day job, I advise people on health issues. One bit of advice I give every day is the advice that if they smoke, that they quit. But I do not dictate to them. And I'm not going to start doing that now as a legislator. Few communities in Wyoming have approved smoking bans as strict as the bill on the table here. In my opinion, we dictate to the folks back home when we take away their rights to have their own input on this important personal liberty and property rights issue. On and for the amendment, and Mr. Speaker, I request that the ayes and noes be obtained on this question as well.
The ayes and nays will be called, but at the proper time. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a few questions I have, and it actually doesn't deal with smoking much, but more of a policy decision that we're about to make in regards to drastically changing our policy toward county government in this state. I've advocated in the past that perhaps we should start moving toward giving our counties powers similar to municipalities, making them more like municipal corporations, because you understand municipalities are corporations created by the state. Counties are more of an arm of the state. The difficulty is that counties do not have the power of ordinance. We only grant them very limited powers. The one important one that we've granted them, they can regulate golf carts on streets. That's one of their powers. They have the power of zoning, and last year we gave them the power to clean up hazardous sites. I argued strongly against giving them the power over hazardous sites solely on this reason that I didn't want hazardous, you know, of course you want hazardous sites cleaned up, but that was a job of DEQ, I felt, and that we needed to have a reasoned approach instead of this piecemeal approach to granting counties more and more powers. If we're going to turn counties into municipal corporations, we need to just take that step. But doing this piece by piece, I think, is problematic. And here's one of the problems that I already see. The good gentleman from Campbell County said he wanted the people to vote, and he pointed out that you can have referendums and you can have recalls and what. County county government doesn't have any of that. That's not in the law. So this won't be a vote of the people. Let's make that very clear. This will be a vote of county commissioners. The people will not have, they do not have the power, as they do in city government, to have then a vote on the ballot. So a ballot vote is out of the option here. The other difficulty is that we have a whole other statute on the books dealing with county boards of health. And I know not all of your counties have one, but, you know, I know Sweetwater has one, Laramie, I think Natrona has one, Teton has one. Anyway, so some of the counties do have county boards of health. They actually have the power to implement air quality standards, which essentially is smoking regulations, in both the county and the town over which they oversee. The difficulty is, by this, it's saying that the county will only have power over the rural part of the county, but the county board of health will still retain their authority within the city. So you're going to have some really strange conflict in laws, and I think just some more work needs to go into this concept. More importantly, I think we need to seriously look at, are we prepared to make county governments identical to municipal corporations and give them the same exact powers as city governments? And that's a policy decision. And this is one more step toward essentially getting rid of our county government structure and creating a new structure.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard that we should leave this up to the towns and the counties. And I would tell you that my community tried to pass a smoking ordinance, and because of the contention with the establishments that were inside of the city limits and the ones that were just barely outside of the city limits, our mayor said, let's withdraw this. It's not worth making enemies of our neighbors. And the whole contentious argument was the unfair business advantage of one group over another group, whether they were inside the city limits or outside of the city limits. And when we discussed this last year, it was brought up that perhaps we should allow counties to regulate. My county commissioners don't want this. They said, you be courageous, you stand up, and you do the right thing and pass this ordinance. I would vote aye on, or nay on this amendment.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The good representative from House District 26 makes a good point, and the point that's sort of been made to me repeatedly through this discussion, and the heartburn I've had with this bill. And I should probably state pretty clearly that I don't like this bill at all. I just, the thing that rubs me the wrong way is I feel that we as a legislature are reaching across the state and shoving something down the throat of the people, every man and woman from border to border in the state. And remember, municipalities, towns, they've had authority to do this all along. And I'm told repeatedly, overwhelming sentiment is for this. People want this. But you don't see a wave of town after town after town adopting smoking bans. It hasn't happened. Three have done it. My own town put it on the ballot, put it in front of the voters, and said, if you want a smoking ban, adopt it. And they said no. And that creates me a great heartburn in me to come down and say, voters, you were wrong. I know what's better for you. I, sitting within these walls, can tell you exactly what's the best for you. And the response has sort of been, well, you know, that was many years ago. Sentiment has changed. And I ask repeatedly, well, are you talking to the city council members? Are you talking to my city about re-implementing the smoking ban? And the answer I always get is, no, it's too hard. It's too hard to go town by town by county. Well, this amendment answers that question, and it moves the ball forward for those of you that are in favor of banning smoking in this state. What it does is it changes the default, changes the landscape, and says from the implementation of this bill on, the default is smoking is banned. And if you as a city, if you as a county don't want that, you have to take the impetus and you have to make the effort to change that. And to make it and to permit smoking. If in fact the difficulty with not going to municipalities has been it's just hard to change one by one by one, well, then this should answer that question. And those cities and those counties where the overwhelming majority of people just don't want this can be able to opt out of it. And I think that is a good approach for us in this chamber. That is an approach that does allow the voters to... I mean, this isn't one of those technical questions that you have to mull over. I mean, every constituent we talk to has an opinion on this one way or another. They can decide for themselves whether they want smoking, whether they don't want smoking. And I would just really urge the body to give this serious consideration. I stood and voted for this bill yesterday on to move it to second reading, and it was sort of like drinking castor oil, you know, but I wanted to give some more time for discussion. This amendment would allow me to grudgingly support the bill and move it on. But without this amendment, without the ability for local governments to be able to decide whether they want to do this or not, it merely is a dictate from within these walls, and that's something I just cannot support. So I would urge you to support second reading amendment number 2.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also urge you to support amendment number 2. And I reminded the body yesterday of what happened in the prohibition. And I would say to you that if we impose this ban from this room across the state, will people stop smoking? No. Will people stop gathering in places where they can socialize with others who would like to participate in this now banned activity? No. What they will do is they will find rooms and spaces in back alleys and underground, and that, my friends, is an absolutely fertile place for bad deeds of all kinds. That's what we saw in the 20s, and that's what we'll see with this. So I say, leave this up to local communities. Leave this up to adults to make their own decisions about how they're going to run their lives. Let's turn our attention to those things that can help people who choose to beat this addiction to do so. Let's work in positive ways that don't impact people's rights. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. During the budget session almost a year ago, I was approached by a number of people to support a smoking ban bill that was being proffered at that time. And I told them universally, no, I was not in favor of doing it. It's a budget session that, in fact, if there was an issue that there was this big, not much energy devoted to it, it should be brought back at a general session. And if that was the case, I would vote for it because I think it's an issue that we all need to consider and make our own opinions about it. Therefore, I voted for introduction of this, which was a commitment I'd made to a number of people, and I've done that. Speaking on and in favor of this amendment, I think my core belief is that local governments do the best job of representing their people. It's just something that is basic to my belief in the political system. And the bill that we had passed through introduction yesterday was so encompassing that I'm not sure that was the kind of job that my constituents wanted me to come down here to do, and that by amending this to where it gives more of that power back to the people themselves, the adults that we're responsible for, I urge that that kind of consideration should be given, and I ask for your support of this amendment.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have some questions and some comments. You know, when we go to the voting booth in November, it's one ballot. The same people elect you as elect the city council. So when we think about how we relate with where we want to assign health issues, do we want to assign it to the city, or do we want to take a leadership position here in the House of Representatives and the Senate and the governor's office? Let's think about that. Do we really want to assign public health to individual entities, to counties, to cities? I know from being the former mayor pro tem in the city of Laramie and dealing with this issue on the front lines, we had to take a leadership role. There was an absence in what we thought was a public health issue in the city of Laramie. We passed that election 52-48% in the city of Laramie. And I would look at the example of the former community that didn't pass this, failing by only a couple of percent. And that was in the year, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that was in the year, that was about 8 years ago. The science and the knowledge about this particular issue has come a long way in the last 8 years. And if you look at the polling for the state, and if you look at the polling in the county and the city that we've been discussing today, that sentiment has changed. There's a greater understanding with the citizens that this is a public health issue. And I would be confident, and I think many of you would agree with me on this, that if this went again to the vote of the citizens in those particular communities, that the support is there to pass a comprehensive state smoking ban. So consider that and think about the door that we're opening as we assign public health to our local communities when we adopt this amendment, on and against this amendment.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would remind all here that often the best government is that which is closest to the people. You all serve, me, you, districts of 8,000 people or more, and how many of them have been down here to visit with you about this topic or any other for that matter? This issue, you know, as many of us see, as many issues we see here on the floor are best settled first by private enterprise, by the actions and the reactions to the marketplace. Following that, if there is a method of local government where people can go locally, where they're not traveling 200, 300, 500 miles to get someplace to talk to us, which they will not do. Often you'll get an email or maybe a phone call or a letter from somebody that is very passionate about this subject, one way or the other, and you've all received many. But is this issue not best served at the meeting place on local government, at the city and town council, possibly the county commission? I would urge you to consider this amendment on and in favor of the amendment.
Representative Zelenitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment, but not extremely strongly. How's that for a reason? Because I do understand. I understand county authority. I was the one who brought the bill to this body 2 years ago trying to allow counties to have the authority to regulate smoking, and every single county commissioner in this state came and found me and said, we do not want this authority. We do not want the decision. We want you to make the decision. And I think it would be different if we did have counties, commissioners coming to us and saying, we would like to do this. Please let us have that power. But they're not. They're saying, you take care of it. That's your job, echoing the good representative from Lovell. We've all seen the studies. I think I take a little bit of exception to the first speaker saying, we're regulating from Cheyenne. That's what we're elected to do. We've seen the studies from 5 independent research polls that say between 65% and 80% of this state believes in a comprehensive statewide smoking ban. And I understand that the population centers like Cheyenne and Laramie, Jackson, some people in Casper, are probably the overwhelming majority, and there is a need for some local control and some local authority. But we certainly didn't do that with Open Container. I was one of the 7 people on this floor who voted no. But we made a policy decision in this body saying, we don't want alcohol in cars. It doesn't matter if you're the passenger in the car and you're not driving, you're not giving the driver alcohol. Just the mere fact that we have alcohol in a car is a bad thing, which leads to bad things for people because I still don't remember why. I voted no. But the same people who voted yes on that are the people who are standing up on this one and saying private property rights. We seem to have lost the argument. We're not closing down businesses who allow smoking. We are asking someone to walk 15 to 20 feet to the nearest exit to smoke outside. And yes, that is somewhat of an infringement on your business, but we're not telling them they have to go 500 feet away. We're not telling them they have to leave your establishment. We're saying go outside. And I know I travel around the country a lot, and I guess that's not always a good argument on this body, what other states do. But people get used to this. They almost expect it, that it's not a big deal. They walk outside, and they smoke, and they walk back in. And in several states who passed this, for the year right after, they actually had an increase in cigarette sales in that restaurant or bar because more people were smoking and more people were walking outside to smoke with their friends, and they actually had cigarette sales go up. And so remember that the argument, I think we get lost in the emotion sometimes, we're asking you to smoke outside. I mean, we're not heavy hand of government, how dare we tell you how to run your business. We're doing yet another small regulation saying you have to walk 15 feet to a door. For the public health and safety of other people who breathe in your secondhand smoke, who have some right of their own not to smoke that. And so we make decisions like this all the time. I know we're blowing this up into quite a great policy decision, but at least back to the amendment, if you want to give counties and cities that authority and give counties that authority, that's a policy decision we're making from this body, but I'll tell you, they don't want it. They didn't want it last year. I haven't had any of my county commissioners or anybody else's county commissioners, and I talked to a lot of them today in the lobby, saying, oh yeah, we want that authority, because they don't. So maybe this is a feel-good saying, we can turn it back over to you counties to let you regulate, and maybe that's the compromise we get to and the scapegoat we have on this bill, but it's not good public policy. They don't want it, and we're deferring the decision. So I'd ask you to vote no on this.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Ladies and gentlemen, I would caution you, and I want to elaborate on what the man in the county attorney's office in House District 23 said. This is not going to work, I don't think, the way that you think it is, and the bringer needs to fix it. In a county, there is no initiative and referendum. There is in a town, but not in a county. So in my community, for instance, the city council passed an ordinance that said no smoking. Then there was an initiative, it was actually a referendum. There was a petition from the voters that with a sufficient number of signatures, and because of that petition, that triggered a vote and we had a vote. That will not happen in the county. It can't. In the county commissioners would pass the ordinance if they're given the authority to do so, but there's no recourse. There's no referendum. And I would point to you what was done in 3510208, which is county regulation of fireworks. And we did, this legislature did a long time ago, authorize counties to prohibit fireworks. And in the statute, 3510208, there is a referendum procedure included in that statute that says, the proposition to prohibit fireworks shall be submitted to the electors if the county commissioners receive a petition requesting an election signed by 15% of the number of votes cast in the last general election. Now, that had to be put in the fireworks statute because otherwise there's no recourse for the voters to call a referendum on the action of the commissioners. So if this is passed, and the commissioners are the ones that are going to be making the vote, and they do the county ordinance that decrees that smoking is available, there's no recourse for a number of people to petition and ultimately take it to a vote in the county. So I would urge either that you defeat this amendment or that the bringer fix it, one or the other.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I was reluctant to rise, but we decided to bring the local government issue in here. I was mayor for 12 years. And let me tell you, folks, when you bring issues like this, you're bringing them to the people. They come to you. We've actually had to adjourn our meetings to bigger places so we could get more people in it. That's government by the people, where it does the most good, where they can get at you. When we stand down here in these hallowed halls and we talk about things, we get a lot of emails from some people, but they have other lives. Local government usually holds their meetings at a time when people can get there, especially municipal governments. And we've heard on the floor how this works, how there was votes. One of them, a petition, was brought for a referendum, or might not be using the right language, but by the people that said, well, we don't like what the council did, so let's vote on it. There was another one where the council said, let's let the people vote on it. This is local government, government by the people at its best, on and for the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, since the Department of Health was brought up, I would like to read you the regulations there. 35-1-303, Rules and Regulations Jurisdictions, Section A, County and or City and District Boards of Health may enact rules and regulations pertaining to the prevention of disease and the promotion of public health in the area over which such respective boards have jurisdictions. You know, quite frankly, this amendment, in my opinion, supports that in some ways. However, as I am against this bill, I think since it is a legal substance, I question about the promotion of public health, since I don't think it's an issue that they get in. And admittedly, I'm talking about the amendment, but I'm also talking about the bill. The whole studies that's been quoted, we've quoted some bigger studies than some of the others that provide justifications for the bill that say you don't need to promote the public health with cigarette smoking. But on and for the amendment, and I suggest you read 35-1-303.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sorry to prolong this, folks, but I just couldn't sit there any longer. I was trying not to speak on this. This is a basic issue. It's a very small issue. I'm a non-smoker. I've always been a non-smoker. I don't like going into restaurants or bars that are heavily smoked. The bowling alley, some of them are just horrible to go into. And I choose generally not to go into those places where the smoke's really bad. But, we heard a lot about the rights here. We are a representative body. People elect me to come down here and represent them. They don't call me on every one of these issues. They say, Dave, we know where you stand. We know your political philosophy. Vote the way why we elected you, basically. And that's where we're at on this. I hate to go against the tremendous lobbying efforts that's out here, to fight cancer and all this, and it's for the kids. The amount of public money that is supporting this is kind of a surprise. But anyway, I'm on and for the amendment. And until the gentleman from Albany County spoke, I was actually thinking about voting for the bill, but now I've got to think that one over too. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? Anybody else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Love now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Let's understand what this amendment does. We are giving the people of the state of Wyoming, by this mandate, if this amendment passes and the bill passes, a statewide smoking ban. But we are also giving the localities a way out if the people in those localities take the impetus and there's a demand by the people to do that. By going to talk to their city councils, going to talk to their county commissioners, lobbying, and they have to take an affirmative effort forward. So make no mistake about it, it is a statewide smoking ban, but it has a back door. This is a question of philosophy. We all know that it's much harder to be a city councilman or a county commissioner because you live in the community that you regulate. And everybody in that community, all of your neighbors, are your constituents. And I want to ask you honestly, how many of you pay any attention to my constituents when they call? But in a city and in a county, everybody's a constituent. And frankly, I'm offended by the political ole by the county commissioner saying, we don't want to make a hard decision. If you don't want to make the hard decisions, don't run for the job. So this is the question of philosophy, is why is our judgment better than the people who live in the communities? I believe... wholeheartedly that our strength is in our diversity, and that it's the tension in ideas and the tension in lifestyles that makes us all smarter. And it's only in those times in our history where we try to eliminate those tensions and make us all homogenous that we create the tragic times in our history. Look around the room and think, how many people's families in recent history in this room were harmed by actions of governments designed to protect us and designed to make us all the same? We have amazing power in this body, the power to spend, the power to regulate, the power to destroy. And I sit in my desk every day, lulled into the false sense of competence that maybe I know how to exercise that power. But every now and then we need to take a step back away from our regulatory posture and make absolutely certain that what we're doing is right, and absolutely certain that what we're doing is the will of the people. And this amendment's just a simple check and balance to our power. When I'm at a loss for words, I look to the words of people smarter than I am. And I guess on this point, Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said, "I know of no safe repository of the ultimate power of society but people. And if we think them not enlightened enough, the remedy is not to take the power from them, but to inform them by education." I urge your positive vote on this amendment.
Question on the amendment. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby.
No.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Kraft. Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Yeah.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden. Madden. McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 41 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 31 has passed. Second reading amendment number 3. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 31, and the one you should have is corrected copy number 2. I won't go into all of the reasons for bringing this amendment. I think I spoke on that yesterday enough. There's only a couple of other reasons that I can use to support this amendment. And what this amendment basically does is it exempts private offices. And as you can see there, it deletes on page 3, line 23, it deletes the Standing Committee amendment that was adopted and the Committee of the Whole amendment that was adopted to that line that kind of altered the definition of place of work and basically puts in there but does not include private office. And then so that I hoped
to make this more palatable to the proponents of the bill on page 3 after line 23. I wanted to define private office to try and take away maybe some of the confusion that might come with an amendment when you try to think of, well, what is a private office and, you know, what could be construed to be an establishment, which is a bar, et cetera. And what we came up with was the definition you see there, which means an office to which customers or clients are invited. You know, you're holding out business for them if they want to use your services. But the general public is not invited in the regular course of business as they would in, say, a bar or a restaurant. And I offer that to you so that there is no confusion between the delineation between those types of entities. Like I said, the other day I kind of told you the problem I had with this part of the bill, and just to briefly summarize, I think I have a real problem in especially my case and small businesses everywhere in Wyoming, where you could have a man or a woman who's worked like crazy for 30 or 40 years and sent their kids to school pouring over accounting books or legal books, or maybe they're a counselor or anything like that, and they've invested their lives into a business, and nobody's helped them do that. They've paid for the building. Now they're getting ready to retire, and I have a real hard time thinking that on, say, July or June 30th, 2009, it's legal to sit in my office if I chose to do so and smoke a cigarette. Nobody's around. Maybe I don't have any clients that day. I don't smoke, and I told you that. I can't stand cigarette smoke, as a matter of fact. But it can be legal that one day, and we pass this law without this exemption on the amendment, and the next day I'm a criminal. And that just sounds so foreign and so odd to me that we're going to dictate that somebody in a small office can't smoke. And one other thing I wanted to say, I was thinking about this last night a little bit, and if you contrast, you know, we said some things that in here that were exempt, and I talked a little bit with you yesterday on hotels and motels. The other thing is private residence is exempt, of course, unless it's a child care facility, health care, et cetera. And I'm not advocating that we ban smoking in a private residence, but when you think about it, you want to ban smoking in a private office where people can choose to work there. They don't have to work there. The customers don't have to come through the door. It's their choice. They may have heard, oh, the guy there smokes, so I don't go there. Fine. Complete freedom of choice in that aspect, and yet we're going to exempt private homes where you may have children who have no choice but to be exposed to their parents' secondhand smoke. Presumably for as much as 18 years. And they don't have any choice to leave because they're kids. They got to stay there. And like I said, I'm not advocating by any means that we reach out and try to ban smoking in private homes, but I want you to think about and contrast those two examples. And I think if you think about that, you can kind of see where I think it's a little ridiculous that we're going to tell people in private offices that they can't smoke. Thank you.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think the good majority floor leader has merit in his argument, and I thought he had good merit yesterday in his presentation. I'm going to read to you, and I hope I have the right amendment because there was another draft, but page 3, line after 23, private office means that an office to which a customer or client are invited, but which the general public is not. So, hold on. I just got the recent amendment. Yeah, I think so. So, no, I've got it. Thank you. So let me reread the newest amendment, corrected copy 2. Means an office to which customer or client are invited, but which the general public is not. So it says the same thing, as I understand it. I guess what this says is, come over to my house, I can smoke a cigarette,
You're invited if you're my client or my customer. But if you're a prospective client or a customer or anybody that's not a family member or me, you can't come over. And I guess I'd be happy to bring a bill to the legislature to make this a full-time job, but I don't want to do that. We'd have to, if I ran a business that said, you can come over and you cannot, based on whether you're invited or you're not, I think there's an inherent flaw in this particular amendment. If we're going to invite a customer and client over to your personal house, and then not invite the general public, I think we need to play with this amendment. And I see the intent. If no one's ever going to be in your house, I think your argument has merit, Majority Floor Leader. I just, on and against this amendment. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Anybody else for their first time? For their second time?
What?
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passed. Second reading amendment number 4, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I respectfully withdraw second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 31.
Okay. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 31 be read a third? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move consideration of the third reading consent list. And we have removed House Bill 44, I believe. There's an amendment. And so it consists of House Bills 74 and 78.
Will the reading clerk read the bills? Hold it. Anybody want to remove any other bills from the consent list? The reading clerk read the bills.
House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to water and sewer districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 78, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to improvement and service districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Okay. We'll let the chief clerk call the roll on the consent list. The question, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner. Bonner. Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Childers. Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
McComey, aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 74, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 78, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 74 and House Bill 78 have passed the House. We were at that order of business bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 44.
House Bill 44, introduced by Representative Jorgensen, an act relating to professions and occupations, surveyors, and engineers. Be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker pro tem, I apologize to the body. I would move amendment, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44. And what this amendment does, this is actually a technical correction to the technical correction. There was a cross-reference to the statute in the second reading amendment. One of the statutes is actually being repealed by this, so this just fixes that hiccup and cleans up the fees provision of the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. Pursuant to House Rule 9-3, I move that House Joint Resolution 9 be laid back for one day.
Okay, without objection, it is so ordered. Back on as to House Bill 44, House Bill 44 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden. McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Throne.
Aye. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 27 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 44, having been read three separate times, House Bill 44 has passed the House. House Bill 133.
House Bill 133, introduced by Representative Kennedy, an act relating to game and fish regarding hunting use of electronic sites, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And we have an amendment. Representative Childers. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker pro tem, I move amendment number 1, the third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 133, and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Ladies and gentlemen, the Tribal Recreation Wildlife Committee was brought this bill, hunting use of electronic sites, quite frankly, is a good idea to enhance the ability to use scopes by using electronic lights to brighten the crosshairs. And the department came to us and requested an amendment, and that amendment took that language out but left some other language in. And after talking to LSO, what we did do is make it more easy for people to use projected electronic sites, which has basically been illegal in the hunting group, and which is truly supported by the groups not to be able to project light onto animals and hunt. But what we did not know, or many didn't know at the time, we have a definition in the regulations by the commission, which it actually states that the definition of artificial light for, I'm losing my place here. Anyway, artificial light means any man-made light or lighting device which projects a light visible to the unaided eye outside of the device or any battery-powered device. And they use that definition to prohibit the use of electronic sites. However, what they are going to do is amend that and add the language that provides an enhanced ability to see in the dark artificial, and then the next sentence, artificial light does not include scopes or sights that utilize lighted reticles in which the artificial light is contained within the scope of the sight. And I apologize to the body about the confusion on that, but the department worked with us, and I think that the issue is cleared up, and I urge you to vote no on the bill since it's unnecessary. With that, I'd be happy to answer some questions, or I'll call for the question.
Okay. Anybody else for the first time? For the second time, Representative Childers, you withdraw the amendment. The amendment has been withdrawn. Chief Clerk.
Yes, sir, withdraw it.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 133 pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman. Harshman?
No.
Harvey?
No.
Illaway?
No.
Yagi?
No.
Jorgensen?
No.
Landon?
No.
Lockhart?
No.
Lubno?
No.
Madden?
No.
McKim?
No.
McComey?
No.
Mercer?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Miller?
No.
Millen?
No.
Moniz?
No.
Patton?
No.
Peasley?
No.
Pedersen?
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Horberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Pedersen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 141, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 133, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members of the House, House Bill 133 has failed the House. House Bill 141.
House Bill 141, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to driving under the influence, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 141.
Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, you will recall that during Committee of the Whole, we had some discussion about Romanet 2 that is located on page 4 of the bill. And essentially, as written right now, that provision would make it illegal to get drunk within 2 hours of driving. And I had some heartburn about that, and working with the good chairman of Judiciary, we were able to work out a sort of middle road, and I think language that gets to the point of this provision. And the amendment, what it would do is essentially allow those tests within 2 hours of an arrest, if that arrest was conducted during a valid traffic stop. So it eliminates the situation that if there's some time frame between the infraction and when you're arrested, maybe at your home, pulled from your bed, followed to a party, those sorts of situations, it doesn't rope in. And so I think this allows for an ease of administration on those testing and really goes to the heart of what the provision was initially intended to do.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I appreciate the amendment, and I think it helps my bill, and so I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for the first time? For the second time? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment 1 to House Bill 141 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. House Bill 141, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Brechtel.
No. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingrey.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Hallinan. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 ayes, 10 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 141, having been read 3 separate times, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 141 has passed the House. House Bill 145.
House Bill 145, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to rural health care districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move
this amendment number one. And the reason for this is that my committee of the whole amendment was drafted based upon the assumption that the standing committee amendment would pass, and we failed the entire standing committee amendment. This amendment reinserts the technical confirmation amendments, conforming amendments that we needed from the standing committee amendment. So I'd ask for your vote yes on this amendment.
Okay. Anyone for their first time, for their second time? Hearing none, calling a question. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 145, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 145 pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Orberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 145, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 145 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the... Where am I? You have heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And Representative Barbudo.
Committee of whole, the whole will please come to order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 115 will be moved just below House Bill 241.
The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 72. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 72, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to county jails, release of information.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Just one second, sir.
Well,
This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarterback, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 72 do pass, and I would turn this over for explanation to the good representative from Bighorn.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 72, County Jails Release of Information, it simply authorizes county jails to release information for victims of crime, a system we have called VINE, which is Victim Information and Notification System. Currently, we have it in statute that the bill, that it allows us to do that for the Department of Corrections. And we have now currently 21 counties that participate in this program. And what this VINE program does is it allows victims of crime to be notified as to the status of the offender. And it's just clarifying for really for the jail systems to know that they can provide that information. And I would ask for a favorable aye.
Is there any more discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 72 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 72 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 241. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 241, introduced by Representative Berger. An act relating to the Wyoming retirement system background checks. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarterback, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 241 do pass. And I turn over the explanation to the good representative from House District 51.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 241, criminal background checks for the retirement system, came to us before the Appropriations Committee. For some of you, you may remember last year that we did this same process for the auditors division. And the reason that we're requesting this information of criminal background checks is that the state retirement fund was handling, prior to the economic downturn, about $7 billion in funds. And they currently have about $5 billion. And I think it's critical that when individuals are being hired to manage this type of fund, that an extensive criminal background check be in place, and that is the reason for this legislation, and I ask for your favorable aye.
Mr. Minority Caucus Whip.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I do have one question regarding the financial information. Are you obtaining a FICO score on the applicant?
Chairman Berger.
Mr. Chairman, are you doing a credit check? And like a bank would do a credit check on an applicant for a loan.
Chair Berger.
Not to my knowledge. This is in regards to hiring positions, Mr. Chairman, for the retirement system to manage the funds.
Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 241 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 241 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the Whole is in recess.
Committee reports.
committee and announcements. Please. There's several.
We'll now have committee announcements.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Illley.
Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday upon noon recess in House 18. We'll continue the discussion on House Bill 188, Insurance Coverage of PKU, House Bill 250, Classification of Fire Chiefs After End of Term, House Bill 181, Fair Employment Practices, House Bill 232, Fair Employment Revisions, and House Bill 279, if there's time, Statements of Consideration Review.
Thank you. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet today upon noon recess in our room H17. And after we've had lunch, we will hear House Bill 128, Wyoming Nursery Payment Program, and House Bill 177, Board of Dental Examiners Revision, House Bill 271, Medicaid Speech and Audiology Services, and House Bill 266, Cardiovascular Disease and Diabetes Initiative.
Thank you. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet upon the noon recess to consider continue consideration of House Joint Resolution 15, Education Funding Amendments, and House Bill 235, Child Protection Case Planning.
Thank you, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 a.m. on Monday in Room 302 to consider one bill, House Bill 170, Wyoming Lottery for Education.
Thank you. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet Monday morning, 7:30 a.m. in H11 to discuss House Bill 200, Property Tax, Sales Highest Bidder, 244, Uncompensated Trauma Care, House Bill 238, Tax Refund to the Elderly, House Bill 270, Electricity Production Taxation, and House Bill 291, Small Business Investment Credit.
Thank you. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet now at 12 o'clock, otherwise noon adjournment at 12 o'clock in Room H10, where we will take up Bills 69, Driver's Education Program Funding, House Bill 108, Student Activity Participation Fees, House Bill 167, Board of Education Terms, and House Bill 280, School Districts Cash Reserves. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet upon noon recess on to continue consideration of House Bill Number 169, Mortgage Loan Originators.
Thank you. Is that it? The House is in recess until 2 p.m.